The title of today's message is What God Calls Success. How many want to know what God calls success? And it may not be what we think it is. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus bled and died on that cross for us to set us free and to deliver us from this present evil age or period of time that we're in right now. No one in their right mind would ever desire to be a failure. How many here have ever thought, man, wouldn't it be great to be a failure? Let me see that hand. We'll get you some help, all right? No, nobody ever wants to be a failure. We want to be successful. And so we need to really understand, what does success look like? How many agree that would be a good thing to know? What is true success? And it all depends really on our perspective. Are you looking at things from God's perspective or the world's perspective? God's perspective or the world's perspective? In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world." Now, he's not talking about the earth there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God made the earth and made all things beautiful. But it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That word for world there is cosmos. And it's that evil system that is in opposition. It's a thought system that's in opposition, a rebellion to what God says. We are not to love the ways of this evil system that we find ourselves living among. Because if we have a heart for the world, then it means the Father's love is not in us. That's how you can know if you are of God or not. If you truly are in Christ, your heart will no longer be for this world system. You will become a new creation. The old will go and the new will come. If you're truly in Christ, there is a change that takes place internally. And there becomes a situation internally that we're now at war. We have entered into a war that's really been ongoing for a long time. And we probably didn't realize it so much before because we were already in the enemy's camp. But when you say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden you are very much aware that you are in a war. And that war is against your very soul. And the enemy wants to captivate your mind and get you to think according to his thoughts. He wants you to listen to his voice rather than the voice of God. So success, according to this world, is temporary. It's fleeting. The success that the world will offer you is always based in self, in self-centeredness, in having it all, having it your way, living for the God of self. That is the philosophy of the world, where you become your own God, and you determine what you're going to do with your destiny, with your life, with your future. You make the decisions, you call the shots, and nobody tells you what to do. And so the enemy is constantly trying to even get believers in Jesus to turn code on him, to listen to that other voice, as we say. And every time we say yes to his voice and no to Holy Spirit, we are living in death. And in verse 16, it says, all that is in the world, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. The lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Who abides forever? He who does the will of God. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. There are things that we use while we're here that are not sinful in and of themselves. God does bless us. God does give us good things to enjoy. Amen? But it's not about the stuff. It's not about the temporary things that we're surrounded with, enticed with. It is really about the will and the purpose for which I've been created in the first place. That is the will of my Father, the will of God. And you cannot serve two masters. You have to make up your mind, I'm either going to serve Christ or I'm going to serve myself. The real battle is within us. It's ourself that gets in the way of the will of God. And that's why Jesus said that you must deny your self-life. Utterly disown it if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me. And often in the Christian community, when we hear the word success, we think it means financial wealth, bigger buildings, the latest technology, television ministries. How about recognition by others? How about titles? To be successful is to rub elbows with the bigwigs, you know? To get recognition from those who have all the titles and all the credentials. And to get your article in Charisma magazine. Woo! It's all about you. No, it ain't. See, that's the problem. We've got to get over ourselves. It's not about us anymore. It used to be all about us, but anymore it should not be about us. It should be about Jesus now and what he did for us and the word of our testimony, declaring the praises of our God. Folks, from God's perspective, I want you to hear this. The greatest success story of all time was Jesus dying on that cross. That is the greatest success story. The death of Jesus, his resurrection, it was a huge success because it was in fulfillment of the will of the Father. It was huge because it meant now you and I can be forgiven. We can escape the penalty of sin. And we can be free to serve the Lord now. Not self any longer, but to serve the Lord. When God saves us, he calls us out. He pulls us out of the muck and the mire, amen, of sin. He pulls us out. He washes us in the precious blood of the Lamb, amen. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And then he places us right back in the middle of this sin-sick world to be salt and to be light, to be victors with him, to enforce the victory that Jesus already accomplished for us. We are called to enforce that victory. Jesus has already spoiled principalities and powers. Amen? Jesus has overcome. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he said, in my name. Go in my authority. We've been called out to be His people, His bride, who is in preparation for eternity, who is being made beautiful for her bridegroom, Jesus Christ. The church is where His eye is. He's got His eye upon His church, His people. Jesus is anticipating, looking forward to the time when He shall come and receive us unto Himself. And He's not coming for a prostitute. He's coming for a virgin. He's coming for a bride people. He's coming for a prepared people. He's coming for a holy people. He's coming for a repentant people who have come to Christ and have confessed their sins and forsaken them. And they have taken up their cross and they have said yes to the will of God. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, to those who honor me, I will honor them. To those who serve me, those are the ones that the Father will honor. What is true success? Is it having it all now? Having all the toys? Is it keeping up with the Joneses? Is it in competition for the most, the biggest, the best? Or is it knowing that I have lived my life for eternity? I have lived my life for that which is coming. And I haven't wasted myself on the temporal world that we live in. That's why we give. That's why we share. That's why we bless. That's why we serve the Lord. Why? Because we're living for that world. We are living in the superior reality of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We are citizens of heaven. We're no longer citizens of this world. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and been brought into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. The Son of His love. And now we can serve. We can serve with a conscience that's been cleansed, that's been clean, with a new heart. Amen. That He puts within us. Heart of flesh and a heart that loves. A heart that desires the thing that God desires. And we pray, Lord, make Your will my desire. In Romans 12:2 it says, do not be conformed to this world. There it is again, cosmos. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Often our opinion of success is being influenced by this present world. Often what we think is success has been shaped by the world that we've lived in, the life that we've lived in, the environment that we grew up in. That's how we're formed in our thinking, and we even think of God based upon our own experiences in life with those who are in charge of us or authorities in our lives, such as parents, teachers, school teachers. But what does God have to say about it? It's not enough, amen, for me to live for self. I need to live for God now. I need to know what God says. I don't want to be opinionated about what success is. I want to know what success really is. Because there are many who are living their lives simply for this present world, even in the church. Their whole life revolves around themselves and this present world system and just getting and gaining and taking. But when we are saved, we had been separated for God's glory and for God's purposes now, that we might be filled with His Spirit and that we might represent Christ now in this world, that we might follow the example of Jesus Christ our Lord, who came, amen, not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That's abundant life. That's true success. True success is the will of God for your life. And that's the only thing that will last. All the things and the stuff that we have, folks, one day will be gone. Everything. Look around in this room. Look around. Even the bodies. Amen. They're all going to be gone. Thank God we're getting new ones, right? But it's all going to be gone someday. 1 John 5:19 says this, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." We need to understand, folks, how influenced we have become by the system of the world. When you compare our lives, let's compare ourselves here to Jesus, who is our example. How do we compare? He is our standard. Actually, yes, we can. We can be like Jesus. That's the awesome thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus stripped Himself of His glory and became just like you and I to example and model the fact that you can live a life that pleases the Father, that you can live a life that is submitted to the rule and reign of Father God. That you can indeed effect change in the earth because you are in submission to the Father and His will. Because we are saying yes to God now. And it's no longer about me. It's about Him. I pray, God, help me to get over myself. Every day it's a battle, it's a decision, it's a choice that I'm going to say yes to God and no to me. And when I live in that place, I have life and peace in the Spirit. When your soul says, "I don't want to do it," and the Spirit says, "You need to do it." You say yes to the Spirit and no to you. "I don't want to get up and go to church today." Shut up. Get up and go to church. You're going to church. Because you are the church. And you need to be with your brothers and sisters. So much of our thinking is influenced by the world's opinions and the values of this world, you know, and the enticements. In Luke 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, money. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men," listen, "is an abomination in the sight of God." Have you ever given any thought to that, folks? What is highly esteemed in this world is an abomination to God? How influenced are we? Is there some renewing that needs to take place? Do our minds need to be washed, our hearts? Do we need a recalibration and an awakening to say, "God, man, I thought I was living right for you, and I discovered that really I'm full of me. I've been living for myself." And even we just add, you know, God into the equation. I heard a young person talking one time. It was a Christian television thing, a youth thing, years ago. And he says, "Oh, you do whatever you want. You just got to take Jesus with you." Like he had a little pocket Jesus, you know. "You take Jesus with you." That's so twisted. He's Lord. He's God. He's Master. He's all that. He paid the price for us. Amen? He bought us with His own blood. He deserves to have us. Thank God He delivered us from the devil's hell. Amen? Amen. And then we can live for Him. And the joy of the Lord is in the service of His, for His name. You want joy in your life? Say no to you. and start saying yes to God. Hallelujah. You know why we're so bummed out and so because we're so focused on self all the time. It's all about me and my problems and me, my. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, when the baby's born, as soon as their head pops out, they're pretty much saying, mine. You know? I mean, we're born that way with that nature. That's why we must be born again and we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We must understand what pleases the Lord and live for His glory and find your joy, your strength, your life, your superior quality and quantity life in the Lord. You know, instead of us influencing the world, we've allowed the world to influence us. Folks, I see the results myself. I feel like Lot sometimes, where my soul is vexed just living in this world. You know, I know this is not my eternal home. You know, that He's gonna make everything new. That day is coming. But it's tough sometimes just being in this world and being saturated and surrounded with the filth and all the stuff that's going on that's screaming for our attention. And your soul wants to go there. And every time you say yes to your soul and no to the Spirit, you're in death. And you die some more. You'll wilt, you'll wither, you'll fall away. You'll be destroyed if you continue to resist the Spirit of God and say yes to yourself and no to Him. What, in order for me to see things from God's perspective, I need to know how He sees things, right? We need to know how God sees things. And one of the questions is this: what does God esteem? Do you know that God esteems something? What does God esteem? How many would agree with me that we need to esteem what God esteems? God esteems His Word. When God says something, He means it. He is a righteous King, amen? And when He decrees a thing, it is so. And the Bible says, and David wrote this, in Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. God has magnified His word above all His name. What does that mean? That means that the law of God is also a law to God. God says, I will submit myself to what I say. I will esteem what I say above my name. For His name's sake, God always speaks truth. He's holy. What He thinks, what He says, what He does always agrees. Amen? That's the God we serve. He's holy. Aren't you glad He's not like some flaky people we know who tell you one thing and do another thing? God's not like that. God has magnified His word above His name. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Most of you are aware of this, but scientists have discovered somehow that words are vibrations and words produce light. That whenever you say something, that word is forever. Words are spiritual. Once you say it, you can't take it back. I don't care if you go online and delete it. Folks, once you say something, that word is forever. And that's why Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. We can come to Him and confess our sins. Thank God He's faithful and just to forgive us. But we've got to repent. And we've got to watch what we say, because those tongues are powerful, aren't they? They can produce life or death. But He says, my words shall not pass away. Whenever God says something, it's forever, folks. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, listen, if you and I were to, let's say we go to Heritage Bank, you know, that's my bank. If you go to Heritage Bank and you know that that bank is breaking, would you continue to deposit money in it? No. If you know that the bank that you use is collapsing, it's failing, you're not going to put your money there. It's going to be gone, right, if you do. That's like the world. When we live for the world, it's like putting your money into something or investing your life in something that's passing away. That's not going to last. Wouldn't it be foolish to invest your money, you know, in a bank that is failing? How about buildings? How many here have done carpentry work? If you've laid a foundation and you discovered that there's a crack in the foundation, if you're a wise builder, you're going to say, "I'm not going to build on that foundation anymore. It's cracked. It's going to collapse if we do." See, that's my way. My way is the cracked foundation way. My way is the way of sand. But the word of the Lord abides forever. Those who hear these words of mine and do them, I liken them to a wise man who dug deep, amen, and built his house upon the rock. And when the rain and the winds beat against that house, he said the house stood firm because it was on the foundation of the Lord. Do you understand? The will of God is your foundation. The purpose for which you were created is your foundation. If you want your life to matter, if you want your life to count for eternity, live for Jesus Christ. Say no to yourself and yes to God daily. Does my life look like Jesus? I look at Jesus, oh God. I'm not what I used to be, I'll tell you that much. Somebody asked me, "Are you a good Christian?" And I knew it was a loaded question, so I says, and God kind of dropped this in on me real quick, and I said, "Well, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm somewhere in the process, amen? But I am fixing my eyes on Jesus. I am looking forward to the day when He comes." If you're building your life on His foundation, on the will and the purpose of God, you're going to look forward to the day that Jesus comes. Why? Because you've already died to this life, and this world is not your home, and you don't love this world, and you're not trying to fill yourself up with something that will never satisfy you. It's time that we wake up and realize that if we're building on sand, and then eventually your house is going to collapse. Get in tune with God. Find out what God wants for you and do that. And you'll have life. Someone once said, concentrating on this world is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's a sinking ship. Because wise people do not live for a world that is passing away. How many here are saying, "You know what? I'm hearing you today. And I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart right now that it's time for me to forsake my way and to get right with God and to follow Him." Amen? To serve Him and serve Him only. It's time for us to start saying no to that other voice. The devil can't make you do anything. If you're a believer today, the devil can't make you do anything. It's your choice. It is God's will that delivers us from the temptation of living for passing things, things that are passing away. When you discover the will of God and you live the will of God for your life, the temporal things have no pull on you anymore. You have discovered something that is far superior to anything this temporal world can give you. Folks, I want to suggest to you, and I'm not speaking poverty here, okay? Don't get me wrong. But some of the people who are poor in this world are going to be rich in heaven because they have really lived their life for Jesus Christ. I'm not people who just made foolish financial decisions. I'm talking about people who have given themselves and their resources for the kingdom to live for God. They're going to be rich in heaven. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen? And God has even chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Hallelujah. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is our treasure? Is our treasure for the kingdom, amen, for God and for His glory, to live for the one who gave Himself for us so unselfishly. Jesus didn't come with an agenda. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give His life away and say, this is the way of life. This is how you live. You want to live? Die to yourself. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He knew there was a joy waiting for Him. And that joy was sons and daughters. That joy was you and I with Him. Amen. That joy was a bride, a prepared bride, a holy people that would be with Him forever in eternity. True success is esteeming what God esteems. And God esteems His Word. Do we tremble at this Word? Do we love the Word of God? Do we value this? Is this our treasure? I want to know what God says. I want to know what pleases God. I want to know what's true, what's authentic. I want to live, amen, for the Lord. I want to live for eternity. I don't want to spend myself, waste myself on just the temporal things. We've all seen examples. If you go to these foreign countries, some of you have been overseas, and you see how some of the poorest Christians are so full of the joy of the Lord. And you come to America and we look like we're sucking lemons or something, sitting in church, you know, and yeah. Why? Because they have discovered something superior to what this world can offer. And they're living for eternity, and the joy of the Lord is their strength. It's real joy. And in the cross, there is joy, as we sing that song, when we learn to love the cross. Hallelujah. And you know, this kind of, while I was putting this together, this dropped in on me. It was, don't focus on sin. Because sometimes we're saying, well, I'm such a bozo. You remember I had that thought the other day, or that word that slipped out the other day, and how can I ever serve God? I'm just not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. Well, you never will be. The problem is this, folks. When we focus on our sin, it magnifies. When we focus on the law, it magnifies sin and it conquers us. When the Holy Spirit convicts us and points out sin, we simply confess that, and then we say, devil, speak to the hand, it's been confessed, it's been forsaken, amen? God forgives me, I'm not listening to the accuser, I'm listening to my defense attorney who says, you're forgiven. Amen. Get up, dust yourself off, and go on in the race. Amen. The word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is powerful. We testify to the grace of God. We testify to the blood of Jesus. Amen? We testify to the cross and what it means to me. It means I've died to myself. It means that it's no longer I but Christ. It means that I've been taken out of the way. My soul life I died to, and I live now in the Spirit. I have life and peace. Don't focus on sin, but listen, focus on the will of God. If we are focusing on my addiction, my problem, my this, my that, you're focusing on yourself. And whenever you're focused on self, you're not focusing on Christ. And you have no grace in and of yourself to defeat anything. Shift away from you. Look to Jesus and fully trust in His grace. Fully. It's no longer, I don't dare trust myself. I don't dare trust my goodness, my righteousness. Because for so many years, I was always trying to be good enough, and I was always failing. Why? Because the focus is on my efforts to be good enough rather than on the will and the purpose for which I was created, to have fellowship with God, to walk in new life, to live with a conscience that has been cleared. Amen? I don't have to focus. When I start focusing on my weakness, that thing just magnifies. It just comes right back up in your face. And focus on Jesus. And when you focus on Him, when you behold Him, you become like Him, and your weaknesses become your strengths. I used to have a really bad temper. I mean, really bad temper. Guess what? God has turned that weakness into a strength where I have patience that I never had. And I looked at Jesus, she's supposed to say yes. But she's lived with me a long time, you know. So she knows the changes that God has wrought in me. And it's not because I just tried harder to defeat my temper. No. I worship. I draw from the grace of God. I trust fully in His grace and His ability. And He begins to turn your weakness into now, He actually flip-flops to where it becomes a strength. And then He sends you right back into where you used to go, and they say, this can't be the same person I used to know. I go back to some of my high school buddies. I'm going to tell you how long ago that was. They're the long-haired, pot-smoking hippie then, you know. And they go back, and they just can't believe. They want to see an ID card, you know, or something. It's like, well, that's God, amen? That's not me. That's God. But it does depend on me to trust God for the work of grace. Folks, the answer is still the same. It's grace. It's not of me. It's of Him. And when I get my eyes off me and get them on Him, then there is grace. Amen. Just prior to the cross, Jesus said in John 12:25, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Do you hear that? He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What's he talking about? He's talking about my selfish life, my soul-centered life. You know? Do you understand the reason why the world is where it is and the things that are happening in this world are a result of selfishness, of man's selfishness? Why does God do this, or why does God allow that? Because God allowed man the freedom of choice. And it is selfish choices that have produced the mess that we're in today. Because every time we say no to God and yes to self, we're saying yes to Satan, and then we give him the authority, the authorization to bring destruction, not only in ourselves, but upon others. Is this making sense? That's why we need to hate our soul life. I need to hate the selfish part of me that just wants to be coddled and wants to boast in my achievements and my accomplishments, and that part of me that wants the lusts. You know? That's the part of me that I have to die to. I have to deny. I have to say no. You have a choice to make. How many here are willing to serve Jesus Christ for the rest of your life? How many have heard it today? You've heard the message, folks. God has called you out for a specific purpose. Amen? How many are willing to do that? How many are saying, I'm going to discover who I am and my purpose? I'm going to start saying no to me, and from this point on, I'm going to start saying yes to Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to say no to me. I'm going to take up my cross daily. I'm going to follow Him. Hallelujah. I know that's your heart, that's your desire, because you know why? God works in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. It's a matter of you saying yes daily. If you focus on the yeses, you won't have time for the noes. I use that illustration so often, I'm going to stop right there, but I could go on for another hour. Now, I'm just getting warmed up here, but you've been sitting for a long time. Plus, you can only handle so much at a time, right? I know you got to have a meal and you got to kind of let it digest, but folks, God desires for us to desire Him. God desires for us to desire Him, to desire His plan, His purpose, which is a superior plan, a superior purpose. And if you're young, you have, by the grace of God, you have years ahead of you to bear fruit unto eternal life and to live the blessed life in Christ. To bear fruit unto eternal life. To have a treasure in heaven. And in that day when you see Jesus, to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Jesus. That's my desire. And that's God's heart for us. We've got to forsake the idols, the things that are choking us, the things that are just eating up our time and distracting us, the good things that have now become evil things because we worship them more than we do God. We worship materialism in America, sports. We need to worship the living God, amen, and live for Him. Make heaven our home, and make your treasure there. Amen. Make sure your treasure's there. Jesus said, where your heart is. I don't believe we have much time left. Oh, we've been hearing that for years, but folks, we are closer than we've ever been to the time of the Lord's gathering of His people, I believe. And His pouring out of His wrath on this earth, on this world system that's rebelled against Him and thumbed their nose at Him. God's not going to tolerate it. Jesus is returning again, you know. This time He's not coming as a suffering servant to be mocked, to be spit on, to be crucified. This time He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.